You are now tuned in to the number one rated online sports talk radio station, Sports Rants Radio, the official home of SportsRants.com, the social networking community dedicated to sports fans and sports talk. Join the Sports Rants Nation at SportsRants.com. Now, who's ready to talk sports?
Allow me to reintroduce myself. My name is Ho, Ho, H to the O-V. I used to move snowflakes by the O-Z. I guess even back then you can call me CEO of the R-O-C. Ho, fresh out the frying pan into the fire. I be the music biz number one supplier. Fly it in a piece of paper bearing my name. Got the hottest chick in the game wearing my chain. That's right, Ho, Ho, not D-O-C, but similar to them letters. No one could do it better. I check cheddar like a food inspector. My homie Strick told me, dude, finish your breakfast. So that's what I'ma do, take you back to the dude with the Lexus. Fast forward the Jews and the Nexus. Let me tell you dudes what I do to protect us. Shoot at you actors like movie directors. This ain't a movie, dog.
Now, before I finish, let me just say,
and what's up? We're finally here, ladies and gentlemen. It is draft day in the National Football League. All the talk, all the rumors, speculation, mock drafts, they're coming to a close. We only have a couple of hours to go before the commissioner comes to the podium and announces that the draft has officially started and all the action will start taking place. I'm Anthony DeMauro. This is the Anthony DeMauro Show right here on Sports Rants Radio, a very special edition of this show. Now, I've been absent from the airwaves for quite a bit, and I got to be honest with you, it's just been so hard for me to get back on the air with some consistency with my show. So, you know, I'm going to try to do specials and try to get on as much as possible, but Sports Rants has just been super busy here at the Sports Rants headquarters, as well as Elite Rank Media. It's just been crazy for me to find time to get on the air, keep up with everything that's going on. So please excuse my absence there. I'm going to try to get on the air when I can, and especially on special days like this with the NFL draft. I thought it was a great opportunity to get back on the airwaves. But again, for most of you who have tuned into me before, you know the drill by now. I'm completely interactive, which means if you submit a question to me, and today it's all draft. Just give me draft questions if you have them. If I get to them in time, they will make the show. You'll get an on-air shout out, and I'll answer your question to the best of my abilities. All right. And for those of you who are listening to me saying, hey, Anthony, I can do what you do. I can write. I can talk sports. Awesome. We're looking for contributors to join the Sports Rants contributor team. Talk about the sports you love. We have multiple sections covering most of the sports that you watch. Just come on over to sportsrants.com/sportsreporting for the application. Everything that you need to know, information, details on what it takes to become a contributor, what it means to be a contributor, and how to apply. It's all at that link there. Again, that's sportsrants.com/sportsreporting. Get your butts in gear, folks, especially if you have a passion for this. It's a great opportunity on a great platform, and certainly something that I've thrived on personally and professionally. So with that being said, let's get going with the draft. We're going to start with the latest rumors here about this second overall pick. Now, everyone is talking about Marcus Mariota. You know, the latest rumors out there regarding that second pick, which is currently owned by the Tennessee Titans, the latest rumor is that the Eagles are gaining momentum in acquiring the second pick in the draft. Personally, I'm not sold on this for two reasons. One, I'm not sold that the Tennessee Titans aren't enamored enough with Marcus Mariota themselves to take him. Now, a lot of people out there say, well, that doesn't make any sense. It doesn't fit the system. It doesn't matter. This is a passing league, folks, and unless you have a pure, solid, established franchise quarterback, you continuously go after getting franchise quarterbacks. So what I mean by that, you don't have to spend a first round pick on a quarterback every single year like the Browns, but if you're not sold and you're not positioned at that quarterback position, it doesn't hurt to add more value, more talent at that position. So Zach Mettenberg, we don't know if he's going to be the franchise quarterback in Tennessee. You know, he had some up and downs in his rookie year. He's a late-round draft pick. He's a great story. But at the end of the day, if you're looking at Marcus Mariota, if you're the Tennessee Titans, and you are that impressed with him, then you take him, regardless of the situation at quarterback right now. Because Zach Mettenberg, in my opinion, he may turn out to be a Pro Bowl quarterback. He may turn out to be a great quarterback. He could be very good, serviceable, or he could be atrocious. But until you figure that out, and if you get an opportunity to get a potential franchise quarterback fall in your lap at number two, you have to look, at least kick the tires and strongly, strongly consider taking Mariota here. Now, the Eagles are doing everything to try to move up here, which is great news if you're the Titans too, because, you know, the Cleveland Browns were reported yesterday offering their two first round picks in order to jump up to that second overall spot to get Marcus Mariota. Frankly, I just do not see this happening for the Eagles. I don't think they're going to have enough ammunition, and if they do, it's going to be paying a king's ransom to jump up there, and I think we're going to be looking at that. Whatever compensation, let's say the Eagles do find a way to make this happen, I think whatever compensation it is going to be very comparable to what the Washington Redskins gave up a couple years back to the St. Louis Rams to jump up and take RG3. And I think a lot of that, you know, Cleveland is moving around. You know, there's talks that they're going to have interest in Sam Bradford. And if that's the case, maybe there's a first-round pick swap there. Again, I wrote an article on this last night. So let's sit here, you know, and talk about the Cleveland Browns. Because I wrote an article on Sports Rants NFL. I suggest you all go on over and check it out, especially if you're a Browns fan. And I make the argument that they should steer clear of offensive players in the first round. And a lot of people want to make, you know, the obvious joke here that, well, the Browns don't get it right in the first round. They're always, you know, they leave with egg on their face. You know, it's just, they're so bad. They're actually not that bad when they're not selecting a quarterback in the first round. And let's just keep it in the first round. So they got two first round picks. What I would do, stop figuring out your quarterback situation. To me, you have a big, big question mark on Johnny Manziel. And whether or not that's a bust at this point, you know, pretty much the fact that that's even a conversation means that you just cannot get the quarterback position right. Now, since 2007, the Browns have used a first-round pick on a quarterback, 2007 with Brady Quinn, Brandon Whedon in 2011, Johnny Manziel in 2014. One of those three quarterbacks is not currently in the NFL, and that's Quinn. The other is a backup in Dallas, which is Whedon, and the third has proven to be a disaster of a draft pick thus far in his career. So if you make a quarterback another first-round pick in this year's draft, I mean, A, it puts Cleveland in a class all of its own, but it just, I liken it to a basketball player. Now, if a basketball player in his game, let's say he's an inside-the-paint kind of guy, but the Cleveland Browns, let's just consider they are the in-the-paint offensive player. It's like if that in-the-paint offensive player steps to the three-point line and keeps taking shots. You're not a three-point shooter, so stay the hell away from the three-point line. And that's kind of like how I look at the Cleveland Browns in terms of using first-round picks on taking quarterbacks. It's like someone who's good in the post, in the paint, stepping out and starting to be trying to become a three-point shooter. Go where you're successful. Now, let's just keep going here because, you know, my argument is they should be focusing on other positions. Now, they've had, of these other players since 2007, they selected seven players in the first round that were not quarterbacks. Now, let's just take in consideration here, and, you know, awards like Pro Bowls, all teams, you know, all press teams are the measure of some kind of success with those picks. Joe Thomas, Alex Mack, Joe Hayden, and Phil Taylor are four of those seven players. The other two players, Mingo, Justin Gilbert. You know, I know Browns fans are going to sit there and they're going to say, hey, those players are terrible. They're still young enough to turn it around. Okay, so I wouldn't say the book has been written on them. They could still tap into their potential. So four of those seven players are hits. And, you know, the measure of success again, are Pro Bowls, all teams, and any kind of award recognition. So Joe Thomas has been to 8 Pro Bowls. Hayden and Mack have been to 2 Pro Bowls, and all have been on numerous All-Pro teams. Phil Taylor was selected to the Pro Football Writers Association All-Rookie Team in 2011. So that's a success rate of 57% when selecting non-quarterback players. If I were the Browns, I would keep my first two round picks, and I would select, in my mock, I have them taking Danny Shelton at number, their first pick there, I think, at number 12. I have them taking Danny Shelton. So, and I love this pick because it gives them a defensive tackle, and you start building in the trenches. Now, when they pick again at number 19, I have them going wide receiver in my mock, but I would build offensive line. Just build your offensive line. Follow the blueprint of what the Seahawks and the Rams, you know, they built defense. So then when you get to a point where you can hypothetically draft a quarterback, you're plugging them into a situation where you have everything else, such a great and such a strong support system around them, their success rate, their chances, their potential to be successful in the NFL is greater because of what's around them. Cleveland is not in a position right now to develop a quarterback, and they haven't shown the competency or the ability to do so. So, again, I don't like this whole idea of the Browns trading up to the second overall pick. I don't like the idea of them taking Marcus Mariota. Now, when it comes to Sam Bradford, I don't like the idea of trading a first-round pick for a quarterback who simply has been injured. Now, I'm not saying Sam Bradford isn't a good quarterback. We simply do not know because he hasn't been on the field long enough for us to say definitively, one way or the other, that this guy is basically a franchise quarterback. And no, regardless, I don't like any sort of question mark being traded for a first-round pick. I don't think the evaluation lines up. So, again, you can go over to Sports Rants NFL, get my whole article, all my statistics, everything I throw in there, as far as the Browns and this whole rumor of them angling for the second overall pick. And I don't think it's a smart approach. I think the best approach for the Browns moving forward, at least in the first round, is building that offensive line and that defense. Continue to build and feed that, and hang on to your two first-round picks. Go in the second round, get a quarterback, third round, whatever, that's fine. But first round, steer clear. Now, I'm going to go through my mock draft. I'm going to answer your questions. But let's first get, I talked about this last night on Twitter, at Anthony DeMauro. So if you guys want to go backtrack here and find out what I said, what I was talking about, feel free to do so. Follow me on Twitter. But let's talk about the five teams most likely to make moves in the draft. Now, I'm going to give reasons to each. I'll rank them, from least to most likely. Top five teams most likely to move either up or down in the draft. But we're going to start here with the aforementioned Philadelphia Eagles. Now, a lot of people are saying, CBS Sports' Jason Lockenfora came out and he said the Eagles are shopping Michael Kendricks for a second-round pick. The whole thinking behind that is they're going to use a second-round pick to further entice the Titans, or they're going to use it in some way to gain additional ammunition so they can trade up to that second overall pick. But even if the Eagles were able to get Kendricks for a second-round pick, which, because they're asking for it, folks, doesn't mean they're going to get it, is that enough to move up? And I don't think it will be. They're going to have to, maybe my thinking is it's going to take this year's first, next year's first, an additional second-round pick to start the conversation with the Titans. I'm not saying that couldn't get it done, but that at least gets Tennessee to pick up the phone if you're Philadelphia. That's a lot to give up for Marcus Mariota. That's a lot. It was a lot for what the Redskins gave up for RG3. And in hindsight, do you think that was a good trade for the Redskins? No. And I'm not saying it won't be a good trade for the Eagles, and it's a totally different situation. It's like comparing apples to oranges. But still, unless you're getting an Andrew Luck, surefire, NFL-ready quarterback, I don't make this move, and I don't think it's smart. Now, Chip Kelly has an ego with this. He thinks he can plug and play any quarterback in his system and it'll work. And who knows? He could be right in this situation. Hell, he could be right with Marcus Mariota. But looking at this at face value right now, I don't see how the Eagles can move up, and I don't think they have enough to move up. I don't see it happening. There's too many moving parts with the Eagles here in order to make it happen. They would have to, you know, hypothetically, okay, if you're following the breadcrumb trail, which are the rumors, the trade rumors, they're going to have to move, make a couple of different moves in order to have that conversation with Tennessee. That is way too many moving parts, way too many variables, and it's out of their control. Way out of their control. When the Washington Redskins moved up in that draft, it was all the assets that they had. And when people move up in the draft, traditionally they're using assets. Now the Eagles are in a situation where they need other teams to help them facilitate a trade. When it becomes that scenario, you end up giving way more, I think, in value because you're making a couple of different moves to make one move. So you're giving up more, in my opinion, in the end. I just don't think it makes economical sense. Now, that's one team. So I think the Eagles, at the end of the night, we're going to see them. They're going to be staying put in the draft. But they are likely to make some noise. I mean, they're all over the rumor mill right now. All over it. And who knows, it could change dramatically by the time the Tennessee Titans jump on the clock. But if you're asking me, if I'm the Eagles, stay put. Number four, coming in at number four, the Dallas Cowboys. Now, the Cowboys are interesting here. They're late in the first round. But I have a strong belief that they are intrigued, interested, and sold on Melvin Gordon. And they want him. Now, I would think Todd Gurley would appeal to him, possibly. But I actually think they have Melvin Gordon a little bit higher. I think they like him as a better fit into what they're currently doing. And I think Melvin Gordon just totally stands out to the Dallas Cowboys. So how do the Cowboys get Melvin Gordon? Well, the most likely trade partners, I think, St. Louis and Miami. Miami is a big asterisk next to it. I'll explain that in a second. Now, I think St. Louis's asking price is going to be a little bit too rich for Dallas's blood. But also, I don't think they will have to move that far up and pay that price to get Gordon. This is where things get interesting because Miami is where you want to have the conversation. 14 is a great landing spot to get Gordon and leapfrog San Diego, who most mocks, a lot of people have Gordon going to San Diego. And I think the asking price dramatically comes down when you're going to 14 as opposed to going to 10. But Miami is such an unknown variable. I'll get to them in a second, but I think Dallas, if they have a legitimate chance to move up to get Gordon, maybe in that 14 range, again, it's all going to be on what Miami does, and we'll get to that in a minute, they move up. If not, I could see Dallas moving back, and they have done that before, but I can see them moving back and maybe getting somebody like Abdullah, the running back, in a second round, picking up some additional assets and getting out of the first round. Otherwise, their first pick, I think the Cowboys' first pick in this draft, regardless of where it is going to be running back. So if I'm the Cowboys, I don't get Melvin Gordon. I move out of the first round. I go back to the second round. I don't reach in the first round for running back. Your talent pool is still going to be pretty deep in the second round. Still going to have some good running back to choose from there. So I would fall back in the second round, pick up additional assets, and take my running back. So that's the Cowboys. Number three, the Cleveland Browns. Now, the Cleveland Browns, I talked about this, start the show. I don't think it's advantageous. I don't think it's smart. And I don't think it's wise for the Browns to do anything that involves them giving up any of their two first-round picks. Nor do I think they should be taking a quarterback. Go defense, or offensive line. That's it. That's your choice. Defense or offensive line. Quarterback, offensive tackle, guard, whatever you want to do. Just don't go quarterback and stay away from receiver. So we'll see here. Cleveland's interesting. You know, they're enamored with Sam Bradford. They were in the talks with the Rams to get Bradford before the Eagles closed in on that. Now there's talk the Eagles and the Browns are talking about, you know, a possible swap here. We'll see. Again, Cleveland just should stay put because I don't think Sam Bradford is worthy of a first-round pick. And I don't think there's a lot of people listening to me right now that would disagree with that sentiment. Again, we could see what goes on here. I don't think Cleveland jumps in number two. I don't think the Browns end up getting Sam Bradford. They're not, and realistically, the Browns, you're not Sam Bradford away from really competing. There's so much more you need to do there. Again, be interesting to see what happens here. But if you're asking me, I think chances are the Browns perhaps make a move tonight. But if my heart just says they're going to stay put too, I don't know what they're going to draft. I'd like to see them do a certain thing, but I think they stay put simply because the Eagles won't be able to facilitate anything to get the ammunition they would need required to get up to that second overall pick. Now, my number two team here, I mentioned them a couple of minutes ago, and this team is really interesting. I spend, when I talk in Sports Rants NFL, it's predominantly about the Miami Dolphins. And I got to be honest, Miami Dolphins are the most intriguing team to me in this draft. And it could be because, I spend most of my time looking at what they do as opposed to any other NFL team. But I think the Dolphins are interesting for a number of reasons. I think it's an equal likelihood that they, A, move up, B, stay put, C, trade down. And it's all pretty much prohibitive on what and hinged and tied to what other teams do. So let me just paint out the scenario here. Now, there's been talks, again, CBS Sports, Jason LaConfermo reporting. It's been reported before that the Miami Dolphins really covet wide receiver Devontae Parker. And there's a big belief that in order to get Parker, they would have to move up. And the landing spot there is St. Louis at 10. So then it becomes the question of asking price. Now, Miami is without a third-round pick due to the trade with New Orleans to land Kenny Stills about a month ago. So they're without a third-round pick. Now, this is where things become interesting. If Parker is to be had, I would think the best chance to basically secure him is that 10th spot. So Miami would be going to the 14th to 10th spot. I also think for St. Louis, this is the best trade partner for them, simply because Miami won't have to give up as much as most teams to make a slight jump, and St. Louis can still fall in that top 15 range and get a top-tier offensive lineman, which I think is their top choice here. So what do the Rams do? Now, the Rams could go to Miami and say, all right, let's swap first-round picks. Maybe next year's second, maybe next year's third, and an additional pick of this year. Maybe they're one of their fifths, maybe fourths could get it done. I don't know. I don't have the valuation chart in front of me. I'm just saying. But here's where Miami has to be careful. Because if you want to move up in that position, you don't want to compromise the second-round pick that you have. So you're without a third. You have too many holes to be giving up too many assets. So I'm fine with them parting with a third round next year and maybe a fifth or fourth this year. I could live with that. But Miami also, they want to be careful here. Just be careful. Because I don't think Devontae Parker is the end-all, be-all. Now, here's where the Dolphins get interesting. Let's say they do not facilitate the trade with the St. Louis Rams and they stay at 14. This is where things get really interesting. If they're at 14 and Todd Gurley is available, although I do not like this pick for the Dolphins because I don't think it addresses glaring holes, I like Todd Gurley. I think he's going to be a star in the league. That's great, and I think the opportunity to get him would be more appealing to me for the Dolphins. Had an offensive line had been a little bit more secure, if there's a that's my main concern, is that the offensive line to me is a bigger priority than running back, just like wide receiver is. So if I'm the first round on the Dolphins, it's wide receiver, offensive line, or bust. That's it. That's it for me. It ends there. But the Dolphins are legitimately interested in Todd Gurley. So 14 comes around. Parker's off the board. Gurley's there. I think the Dolphins take Gurley. That's just, and I don't think Gurley's going to be there. I'll get to that in a second. But that's the thinking as far as I can tell from the Miami Dolphins. Continuing on, now what's the other scenario? The other scenario is Gurley's gone. Parker's gone. I think you get offensive line here. Now, Brandon Scherff could still, there's a small likelihood he can be on the board. I don't think it happens. You get a top-tier offensive lineman here. If all those three scenarios are canceled out, one of the top three offensive lineman talent are gone, your wide receiver talent is gone, and that's Kevin White, Amari Cooper, Devontae Parker, they're gone. Todd Gurley's gone. I think the Dolphins trade back. Now, this is why I think it's smart for the Dolphins to trade back in that scenario, because I think Miami can recoup their third-round pick they gave up in the New Orleans trade, pick up maybe move back a little bit. Maybe they can pick up an additional second. Who knows? But what I'm saying is that could be smart because this is a talent deep draft. They could still address the wide receiver in the second round. still address offensive line in the second round, still do both with the second and third rounds, and come away with perhaps two day one starters. So that's where the Dolphins are interesting to me, because in those scenarios, they can either be the most likely partner for a trade to a team who wants to trade down, like the Rams, or the most likely team to partner for a trade for a team to move up, like the Cowboys. So I would watch Miami here. They're going to be very shrewd, and I actually like how Mike Tannenbaum and Dennis Hickey are operating. So are very shrewd. I like the deals they've been doing. So I don't have the same concern as maybe a Jeff Ireland. We all know what he did with the Deion Jordan trade. That was, it looks dumb now, but I don't think the Dolphins are going to overpay or basically make a ridiculous trade. I could be wrong, but I just don't see them make overpaying here. I think if the cost is too rich here for the Rams, you know, the Rams are asking, hey, we want that second this year too. I think the Dolphins back out of that conversation because I think they have enough self-awareness to know, hey, we have a lot more holes that Devontae Parker and mortgaging the second-round pick we have this year is gonna fix. So let's just walk away. Now, the number one team I have likely to trade, make any moves, is going to be trading down. That's the Washington Redskins, folks. The Washington Redskins. And this is interesting because now we're having a smoke screen out there today. And is it a smoke screen, folks? It's a smoke screen. That the Redskins are going to use the fifth overall pick on Randy Gregory. It's a done deal. And I don't think it even needs to happen. Now, I think the Washington Redskins are going to trade back. And the team, and according to my mock, the team I have them trading with is the Atlanta Falcons. And I think any team that lands in that fifth overall spot, something tells me it's going to be for Todd Gurley. Something tells me it's going to be for Todd Gurley. And, you know, something just came out here I want to share. Fox Sports' Jay Glazer reports that the Tennessee Titans are telling teams inquiring about the number two overall pick that it's going to take a huge value to pry it away. And this is basically to drive up the price. Make no mistake about this. This is smokescreen. This is pretty much driving up the price. But I think this is indicative that the Titans are truly interested in taking Marcus Mariota here. That's what I take here from Jazer's report. So we'll see. And again, this goes back to what I said. Mark it down, folks. I don't think the Eagles have enough to get this deal done. And you know somebody else is shooting up draft boards is quarterback Bryce Petty. Watch him, too. And that's somebody in the Browns. I mean, second round, maybe. I don't know. He might, maybe the Saints take him. The Saints really like him. I could see the Saints taking him 31st overall. They love the kid. That makes a lot of sense. All right, I'm going to go through my mock. Okay, I put this out earlier this week. You can find it on sportsrants.com/NFL. This is DeMoro's Call 2015 NFL Mock Draft 2.0. I may make one slight adjustment here later on in the round. Okay. Number one overall, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers take Jameis Winston. At number two, I have the Titans taking Marcus Mariota. At three, the Jaguars sit there and take Leonard Williams. At number four, the Raiders will take Amari Cooper. At number five, I have Redskins trading down with the Atlanta Falcons, who move up to the fifth spot to take Todd Gurley. At number six, the New York Jets take Dante Fowler Jr. At number seven, Chicago Bears take Bud Dupree. At number eight, the Washington Redskins do get their guy Randy Gregory, but they get him at eight instead of five. At number nine, the Giants take Brandon Scherff. At number 10, this is a big asterisk. I think the Rams end up trading down, but if they stay put, I think they take wide receiver Kevin White. At number 11, I have the Vikings taking Trey Waynes. At number 12, the Browns taking Danny Shelton. At number 13, the New Orleans Saints taking Vic Beasley. Great pick for them there. At 14 in my mock, I had the Dolphins getting Devontae Parker. Regardless if they go to 10 or at 14, I think they get their guy at Parker here. Number 15, Eric Armstead is the pick for the San Francisco 49ers. At number 16, the Houston Texans take Jalen Strong. At number 17, the San Diego Chargers take Melvin Gordon. At number 18, the Chiefs take Philip Dorsett. At number 19, the Browns take the receiver Nelson Agholor, who's climbing up draft boards, shooting up draft boards. A lot of people have him linked to the Houston Texans, linked here at number 19. At number 20, the Eagles take Rashad Perryman. At number 21, the Cincinnati Bengals take Andres Pete. At number 2, the Pittsburgh Steelers take Kevin Johnson. At number 3, the Detroit Lions take Malcolm Brown. At number 24, this is a big if too, the Arizona Cardinals, Lael Collins. Now there's a big question mark with him. Talent-wise, I think this is a good pick for them. Is if he's cleared by tonight, you know, if there's, you know, some kind of report that comes out that he had no involvement in this, I think the Cardinals would be wise to take him here. At number 25, the Carolina Panthers take T.J. Clemmings. At number 26, the Baltimore Ravens take a shot at Dorial Green-Beckham. At number 27, if the Cowboys stay put, which is unlikely, I could see them taking Shane Ray. There's so much uncertainty at the linebacker position in regards to Sean Lee and Rolando McClain. I think Shane Ray adding a linebacker talent will be good there. At number 28, the Denver Broncos, Eric Flowers. At number 29, the Indianapolis Colts beef up their secondary with Landon Collins. At number 30, the Green Bay Packers, Byron Jones, cornerback who's also driving up a lot of draft boards. Now, number 31, the New Orleans Saints. I originally had them taking Jordan Phillips, but I'll tell you right now, I will be shocked if Bryce Petty isn't the selection here. I think they really like Bryce Petty. I don't think it's a smokescreen screen. I think the interest is real. And although I had him taking Jordan Phillips here, which still could be the pick, I think there's a strong likelihood that Bryce Petty is the selection instead. And at number 32, if the Patriots stay put, they take Eddie Goldman, the defensive tackle. Now I'm going to take your draft questions, folks. I'll try to get in as many draft questions, as I can humanly get in. It's going to take a while, but before I do, let's pay some bills, play a quick commercial break, and then I'll be right back here on the Anthony DeMarle Show on Sports Rants Radio.
When it comes to getting noticed online, there's only one choice. Go Elite with Elite Rank Media's internet marketing services. Search engine optimization, social media, creative development, reputation management, and internet marketing services that can be a game changer for your business. Go Elite and bring your brand to the next level. Find out more and get a free consultation at EliteRankMedia.com or EliteRankSEO.com.
All right, folks, we're back. Told you that was a quick break. And now I get to the fun part of the show where I completely interact with you. You're going to ask me your draft questions. I will get to as many questions as humanly possible. I want to let you know I'm going to try my best to pronounce your Twitter name. If I butcher it, I do apologize. I'm just going off of how I can read it here. I'm not going to answer any profiles on air, at least, that are derogatory, anything like that. So let's get to the questions. Let's see what happens here, and let's start rolling. All right, at Blues Music asks, any chance the Bears get Leonard Williams? Oh, that would be a massive drop for the Bears. I just don't see it happening unless the Bears perhaps move up. In my mock, I don't have Williams falling past, I believe, the third pick to the Jaguars, who are apparently in a little conundrum here. They want, they're basically torn between Dante Fowler, Amari Cooper. Listen, whatever the pick is here, I think Leonard Williams, I don't think he gets out of the top five. That's just my opinion. And in order for the Bears, they would have to jump up from 7 to get him. I think Bud Dupree is a good fit for him, Jim, so I wouldn't be too disappointed if that's how it pans out. But I don't think there's a chance, unless there's a trade-up or a massive drop here, that they can get their hands on Leonard Williams, who is considered by many to be the best overall player in the draft. So it'll be interesting. There's going to be a lot of interesting scenarios that could pop their heads up in this draft, I mean, as far as like trading up and trading down. So I'm really, really excited to see how this pans out, but let's go here. Let's continue with the questions. At Andy Gilder says, if you're Atlanta, do you trade up for Fowler, down to take Scherff Collins, or stay where you're at? As I said in my mock, I think what it comes down to is trading up to the 5th overall pick and getting Todd Gurley. I think the Falcons really want him. They have a need on defense, but Todd Gurley is going to be way too appealing for them to pass up. And again, if you're going to move up from that position, I think that's the move you make. I don't think you need to trade down. You know, I think they can get Scherff. If you're you're going to trade down, you're going to get Collins. You know, that's the ideal scenario to trade down. But again, I think they stay put. If they do not trade up, which I think is going to be the plan of action for them, and if they trade up, expect that pick, the fifth overall, to be Todd Gurley. At Coach Mettler asks, do you see the Titans taking the Browns' offer? And when does Ameer Abdullah get drafted this weekend? I don't see the Titans taking anybody's offer, let alone the Browns. I think they stay put. I think they really like Mariota, and I think that they're going to decline that and the Eagles' overtures, and I think they're going to stay put where they're drafting, and I think they're going to be perfectly fine doing so. And as far as Ameer Abdullah, I think he's a second rouner there. I like the Cowboys taking a strong look at him, especially if they trade back. They might be an early second round pick, but I like the idea. I like the idea of Ameer Abdullah being an effective running back. And, you know, I like, you know, the Titans, I hate to beat a dead horse here and say the same thing over and over again. I don't think there's going to be any movement with that second overall pick. I don't think so. I just don't see it, folks. And I don't know if the Eagles even have. I know the desire is there. It's not like the interest isn't real as far as Philadelphia wanting that second overall pick. It comes down to ammunition for me. It comes down to, wow, what's it going to take, and are you willing to pay it? All right, at Jacob Birch 8 asks, will the Buffalo Bills take a quarterback at 50? That is way too far in the draft, buddy, to project. For me, anyway. You know, I got to say, I see the Bills taking a quarterback in the draft at some point, but if you're looking at it to be the, you know, the savior, the next starter, immediately stepping in, unless something drastic happens, I don't think you're going to see anything crazy as far as the Bills and a quarterback in this draft. They could add some talent pool to that position, so we'll see. We'll see, but, you know, as far as 50 and what position he's going to go, who knows? Who knows? All right, and at DW, the one asks, what's the price for Marcus Mariota? Well, according to Jay Glazer, a whole bunch. So look at an RG3 type of asking price and compensation expectance when it comes to Marcus Mariota and moving up into that top spot. But again, I don't see it happening. All right, folks, I gotta wrap the show up. There's plenty of draft day talk over at sportsrants.com. Check out my articles. I got to get rolling with my day so I can get the draft. Make sure to follow me on Twitter, at Anthony DeMauro, throughout the draft. I'll be announcing my picks. And I'll put my mock on Twitter right now. Thank you for tuning in. I'll be back on the air as soon as humanly possible. Thank you for being patient with me. Remember to come on over to sportsrants.com. Create your free fan profile, even if you want to talk sports. Just rant like you do on Twitter. Perfect. We have our mobile app in the mobile and in your app store. Make sure to download that. Don't forget to follow me on Twitter at Anthony Morrow. Thank you for helping me surpass 100,000 followers. I truly appreciate it. Enjoy the day, folks. We got a hell of a sports week ahead of us with the NFL draft, Mayweather and Pacquiao in the Kentucky Derby. So enjoy it. Be kind to each other. Enjoy the draft, and I'll catch you on the flip side. Who's a legend in this house? I mean, really? You think you're a legend? All right. It's game time. Let's find out. I am a legend, and legends are legendary. We are the legends, and legends are legendary. It's legendary, the city is legendary. We're the overly legends, and we're legendary. You, me, us, we legendary, repping the cap city, cause it's legendary, no competition, and there's no adversaries, cause the 5-1 beat, it's legendary. I'm a legend, there's no question, legendary flow with the legendary thread.